You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. The last 72 hours have been very exciting in the Breen household. Before we get into that news, I'm kind of teasing you on this, so the news will be coming shortly. I'm blessed to be joined with one of my two regular co-hosts, Ray Pingoy, the Youth Outreach Director Coordinator. I gave you a promotion here today for the Respect Life Office, and Ray oversees the Ministry of the Chastity Education Initiative, which is a major part of what the Respect Life Office does to educate the minds and hearts of, or inspire the hearts of youth in the Chicagoland area to embrace a life of romance without regret. Ray, I am glad that you could be here this morning because, well, actually, we're all tired.
Good morning to everyone, huh?
Did you give a talk last night?
I did. I was up in Lake Zurich area.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. How did it go?
It went well, but about 100 of the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders through their religious education program were there. So it was
wonderful.
High energy kids.
All right. Well received?
Very well received.
Okay, good.
I was also there last night, and I was very surprised because they started talking about it in their school, and I got good reviews.
Good.
They heard about it, and they were, excited.
Awesome. Well, we have a very special guest this morning, and I'm extremely happy to have my husband, Peter Breen, as our guest for the entire hour, and he is in the studio with us. I have got to admit that the last few days have been very busy in our house, as, you know, he was campaigning for trustee in the village of Lombard, and it's a nonpartisan position, which is kind of cool. You know, it's not Democrat, Republican, Green Party, or whatever, but it's really about serving. And so yesterday was the consolidated election, and he won. So, and this was not about, the being able to serve is really a good thing, and that's what Peter has been about since I've known him and before that, wanting to do stuff for, people and serve the community. Currently, Peter serves as executive director and legal counsel for the Thomas More Society Pro-Life Law Center. It's a national public interest law firm that is based in Chicago. And during today's show, we're going to cover a lot of issues with Peter, and he's going to be our analysis man, I guess. You can call him that today. And there's just so many pro-life stories that have real legal ramifications. And, we're looking at freedom of speech is a big one. Rights of conscience, protecting our youth. Before we get to those important, I should say welcome to you, Peter, before I go on.
And congratulations.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys.
So, thoughts on the whole process of what happened with this election, that I think we could use in this pro-life movement?
Well, I've always had a heart to have more pro-life people involved in the political process because really, as pro-lifers are not afraid to go out and stand on a public sidewalk and express their views. They're not afraid to engage their friends and neighbors about this issue, to talk about this is the most important issue in the world. I mean, the issue of who lives and who dies. And we as pro-life people have to be more active, and we have to be active in these local races. You might ask yourself, what am I doing running for village trustee? The reason I did it was because I really care about my community. Did the pro-life issue come up? Not really. I was attacked for doing what I do. But at the same time, we're talking property taxes. We were talking flooding. We were talking electricity. But at the same, what people's lives are about right now. Mm-hmm. And if we as pro-life people, as practicing Catholics, don't get into the marketplace, don't get into the public square, and we don't start addressing these other issues, look, there are Catholic answers to all of these. We've got principles of subsidiarity and others. Mm-hmm. And, I was so pleased and privileged to have people of all denominations and all faiths and all walks of life volunteering for me and helping me out. But really, it was the fact that I had been active at the church that really helped me to get across the finish line yesterday, and we were very, very privileged. I have to tell you, too, though, there were a lot of good people who lost yesterday. Why? Because more folks like us didn't come out and vote because, you know, we had 18, 20% turnout. I mean, that's a terrible turnout. 20% of registered voters, and that's not even all the adults who are eligible to be registered, are making the decisions for the rest of us. So I think really we've got to get more involved and active, and you'll hear more from me on that topic in the coming months and years.
If we don't get involved, you know, as a people of faith, then we become marginalized, I think. If we just stick to, you know, one issue or two issues and don't try to get involved to make a difference and make our communities better places to live, we're in trouble. You know, we can't just focus on on one or two issues. We have to be well-rounded. That doesn't mean that the issue of abortion and the respect life issues and justice issues are not important. It means that, you know, we do have to be well-rounded. Now, we will be taking callers today. So, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of important controversial issues that have to affect that affect life and the culture of death and freedom of speech. Our number is 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. So we welcome your calls. The lines are completely open. But before we get into all the legal talk and, just stuff about what's going on in the culture and the world, I wanted you to tell our listeners how the Jason Everett Chastity Speaking Tour went throughout the Archdiocese. Was it back in March? It was almost a month ago.
Yeah, I can't believe it's almost a month ago. Sunday was the kickoff, Sunday, March 13th. We had it at Our Lady of the Snows over there near Midway Airport, and we had about 300 students, and also some parents came through to hear his talk. And then I'll just go through this, all right? So Monday, the next day was such a busy, 4 days straight. Monday, March 14th, we started off in Maria High School, an all-girls school, and they had about 200 of all girls over there, and then we went straight to St. Rita's High School, and St. Rita's was gracious enough to lend us their venue to host the 7th and 8th grade session. And can you believe it? We had about 850 of the 7th and 8th graders show up there. They came in through buses, and busloads of them just came through.
That's phenomenal.
Isn't it? Yeah. So after that, we had the all boys, and of course from St. Rita's, and they were about 800 as well. So it was a filled chapel. Jason Everett did a great job. They were very captured by the message of chastity, and that they are worth the wait, and that they should live a pure and clean life, you know. Mm-hmm. And during that night, that March 14th, that Monday night, we had the parent session in Hinsdale, St. Isaac Jogues. About 200 of the parents came through there. And straight on to the next day, Tuesday, March 15th, St. Francis de Sales High School. It's in a South Chicago area, about 300 of them co-ed high school students. And we went straight to Marion Catholic High School, which is sort of near my house, Chicago Heights area. About 1,300, all, you know, they filled up their gymnasium there, co-ed high school, Catholic high school. St. Francis Xavier, during that night, about 800 of them, that's a parish base. And then his last day was on Wednesday, March 16th. We started early in the mornings, Resurrection High School, all girls, about 700 of them filled their gymnasium. And then he finished off at Mount Assisi Academy, all girls, about 200 of them over there. And I was the one driving him, me, Emily, Margie, we all pitched in, and Debbie as well, from the office of Respect Life office. We all chipped in. But you know what? Jason Everett was the one that was using all his voice. And I mean, I was tired just driving him. I don't know how he really is. He's an anointed guy. So it was a great week.
Wonderful. Yeah, we're going to head to a break. Yeah. And when we get back, I want to talk more about just what stood out on the Chastity Speaking Tour. And you're listening to Life Talk, so stay tuned.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and I'm with my co-host, Ray Pingoy, and special guest, Peter Breen. And we haven't gotten really into the legal cases with Peter, but we were finishing up with Ray, and he was wrapping up his story about the Jason Everett Chastity Tour. The one thing, Jason does talk a lot about pornography. Yeah. Now, we've got a caller on the line from, I believe it's Forest Park. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Nick. I am deeply troubled by the existence of internet pornography as well as pornography in general. I just came across a statistic a couple of weeks ago that said the average age for a young boy to become involved with internet pornography is between 8 years old and 10 years
That's
old.
Terrible.
This is a plague. It's destroying the family of the Catholic Church in this country, and without that, we have nothing. Young boys are becoming addicted to this pornography. They are unable to have normal relationships with girls. Mm-hmm. They are unable to become husbands. If they do get married, the marriage is ending in divorce, just like other marriages, even without the church, ending up in divorce, the same statistics. But yet, I have never in my life, I'm 63 years old, I have never heard one homily in church at Sunday Mass on the plague of pornography, which is involved in sexual slavery, sexual trafficking, and you don't have to go to Thailand. You can come right here to Chicago and find sexual slavery with young girls being trapped into this horrible $100 billion a year racket.
Got to talk about this and shine the light on this because it is a very important. I can't believe that is the average age. And yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Nick, for your call. It's something, Ray, this is something we're dealing with right now, and Jason Everett does talk a lot about it in his chastity talks to the schools, to the teenagers, about pornography. It's really devastating. It doesn't mean that people can't get over it. Mm-hmm. You can get help. There are a whole host of resources for families, for the teenagers, for adults.
Well, we gotta spread the word about how the pornography industry is attacking the kids, and it's unfortunate that technology is moving so fast that the parents are getting left behind, and their kids are, they're left alone on the internet, and they have no security, no locks on their computer, and they have to get educated. Mm-hmm. The parents have to be the ones to filter all these things for their kids, because the porn industry, that's what they're targeting.
Yeah, and it's a complicated thing to preach about. You know, I mean.
I've heard homilies about that. I mean, come on out to our parish. You know, we get that. We get good homilies.
We do. And I think you just have to ask your pastor, and your parish priest to preach on some of these tougher mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. You can find resources. I know there are tons of resources online. You could just Google, homilies, like how to preach on X, whatever it is, abortion, pornography, same-sex attraction, all of that. Like, how do you teach a priest to do that and empower him to feel safe to talk about these issues? So, but
those are also the issues that when Jason Everett was going around in the schools, some of those kids would stay behind and try to talk to him. And of course, I would hear a lot of thank yous and thank you for standing up for this. But I would hear some comments from the kids that, hey, I'm struggling with pornography. Hey, I'm struggling with this same-sex attraction. Yeah. And these are the issues that our kids are talking about.
Yeah, they are. And now, I kind of want to segue and bring Peter into the discussion and into the legal issues. Well, in Chuck Colson's April 4th column, Unfit to Foster Christianity and Infection, that was the title of it, Unfit to Foster Christianity and Infection. Mm-hmm. We see that there's a couple in Britain that were foster parents for 14 years, and they were highlighted by social workers as being really good, kind and hospitable people. They responded sensitively to the children. But then London's High Court has just ruled that this family is unfit to foster. And the reason is they are devout Christians, and their views about homosexuality may harm the children in their care. Basically, they were, the commission, this Britain's Equality and Human Rights Commission, claim that foster children risk becoming infected by their Christian beliefs. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. I mean, this is coming here. We see in Illinois. What's going on, Peter, with, like, what are we going to face here in Illinois? And what are we seeing already in terms of legal cases?
Well, we if you've been following things in Illinois, we've had a real problem with this lately. We have we had passed a civil unions bill during the lame duck legislature, in January and December in that area. That whole lame duck legislature was really there were a lot of bad things passed then, and this was one of them. Unfortunately, with that being the case, plus we had passed an amendment to our Human Rights Act, Illinois Human Rights Act, a few years ago, and the consequences of those acts, people might have said, well, I'm okay with this or I'm okay with that, but they're not understanding that now the consequences are coming home to roost. In downstate, there was a bed and breakfast that allowed people, they would host weddings. And now a homosexual couple wanted to have a civil union ceremony at the bed and breakfast, and actually then file complaints against two bed and breakfasts. And one of them at least is going to fight this. So that's going to be one place that's very effective. That's going to be a place where you're going to see the fight come out. The other is that there were articles recently in the newspaper that both the governor's office and the attorney general's office are trying to find ways to stop the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, and the Evangelical Church from having foster care and even from doing adoptions. So they're trying to find ways through the current laws in Illinois, laws that we were told, well, these are just trying to make sure everybody's equal and what have you, and even on the floor of the Senate and, talking about this the civil unions bill, we were told, hey, religious institutions, you're okay. This isn't going to change what you do and how you operate. But now that the bills are on the books, they're law now, both the governor's office and the attorney general's office are trying desperately to find ways to start restricting the activities of religious communities in Illinois. And this is coming home to roost. And I got to tell you, we just had an election yesterday. So elections have consequences. Mm-hmm. And, that's been a constant refrain. And it's one that we really do have to watch. So, both, any of your elections, you've got to watch those things. There are legal efforts, and then there are electoral efforts. We've got the Thomas More Society, and then there's the ACLU on the other side. We're going to fight it out in court as best we can. But at the end of the day, It's who are our legislators? What are they doing for us or against us? And that's where we are right now.
Now, we did get another caller who just wanted, I'm going to backtrack a little to the pornography thing on the internet. There is, there are internet filters out there, you know, a variety of them. Right. So, and there's some very good ones. I think if you just do the research, you can make sure you have internet filters on, you know, on your computer. So I just wanted to get back to that. But, I guess we have to head to another break. Sorry about that. But when we get back, we're going to talk more with Peter about all these different legal issues and the legal fight for our faith and our freedoms, freedom of speech. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities from Victrolas to steam engines at the magical San Filippo Estate Saturday, May 21st at Catholic Charities Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser. The dazzling event benefits programs that help the homeless in Northwest Cook County. The ticket price of $175 per person includes an extensive tour, elegant dinner, and lively auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer. For more information, visit catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Services' Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. I'm joined by Ray Pingoy and Peter Breen. And Peter, you know, we've got a lot more news to cover. It's going to be kind of like a fire hose of news that we're giving our listeners. And it's hard. We want to cover a lot of things. So we're going to move on to this story, that breaking news. I think it was from yesterday. An Illinois judge tossed out a rule on the morning after pill. Can you kind of explain what happened there? What was the law or the rule? I think it was a 6-year-old rule. But what was this? It had to do with rights of conscience, right?
Okay, right. This involves pharmacist rights, which is something that we've been fighting about in the courts and in the legislatures across the country in various states. Illinois in particular has a very strong Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. And that is to our benefit as a state. We do have a good, strong law there. About 6 years ago, our beloved former governor, Rob Blagojevich, put an emergency rule into place. And it was because it was an emergency that pharmacists would be forced to stock something called Plan B. In other words, it's the morning after pill. It's the, I don't want to get too graphic in the description, but it's what you have. You take that within a few days after activity that would cause a pregnancy. And so then, you know, these pharmacists, many pharmacists who are Catholic or other Christian faith, decide that they don't want to be a part of stocking or dispensing that. And so what happened? Governor Blagojevich installed an emergency rule, again, because it's an emergency, that these couple of pharmacists decided not to stock it. They'd been challenging it in court. They took it up to the Illinois Supreme Court. The Illinois Supreme Court sent it back down in a positive way. So finally, the trial judge has said, look, pharmacists don't have to stock this. They have rights under the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. And so that was a great victory for us. I will say I am disturbed that the Attorney General's office has said they want to appeal. I don't know the grounds for that. Why are they defending an emergency rule by a disgraced former governor as against a law enacted by our legislature? You know, I mean, we have an Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act, and the Attorney General should obey that law instead of looking at Blagojevich's emergency rule.
Well, it's because these people that have been elected to, you know, into these different offices are one issue people. I mean, really, I mean, they're for abortion rights. They're for some horrible, horrible things. Now, if anyone has any questions or comments about these issues, these legal issues regarding life issues, please do, give us a call here. You can reach us at 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Our lines are open. Now, also, there's an update. You've got an update on the parental notice case here in Illinois. What's going on with that? But this has been a long, hard fight.
Well, and this is news that's actually an exclusive to Life Talk. We have an oral argument scheduled. If you know that the Illinois Parental Notice of Abortion Act of 1995 has never gone into effect. Mm-hmm. It had been enjoined by the federal court back in 95, 96. Long time passed. In 2006, the Illinois Supreme Court did what it was supposed to do, passed certain rules that were necessary, and then we began the litigation. And you've been hearing about the litigation. We went through federal court. We beat them in federal court. We beat the ACLU in federal court. Now ACLU filed a state court action a little over a year ago. We beat them there, finally in the trial court. Now they appealed their loss in the trial court. We're in the First District Appellate Court, which covers Chicago. On the 14th of April, we finally have oral argument on the case, on the appeal. The hope is that the court will hear the oral argument, that our side will be able to prevail quickly, that we'll get a good strong opinion, and that the ACLU will drop this so that we could have parental notice in this state for the first time ever since Roe v. Wade. Our state legislature has passed five separate parental involvement laws, five of them, either consent or notice, not one of which has been able to be upheld by the courts because of various shenanigans by the ACLU and its allies. One thing that the Thomas More Society has done, we've actually tried to intervene in the case, you know, because we're respectfully contending that the Attorney General needed to either argue this case a little differently or with a bit more vigor. But even in the main case, we have filed an amicus brief, and that means friend of the court. And I'm pleased to announce today that we're about to file a motion to add 10 more states' attorneys to the amicus brief.
Wow.
That's great.
We've got 11 states' attorneys already there. We've got 10 more that we're about to file to have them join the brief. So out of 102 states' attorneys, this would be over 20% of our states' attorneys representing millions of people saying, hey, we support, you know, the parental right to know prior to having a child taken for an abortion. And I'm pleased to say, you know, two of the state's attorneys who are joining or seeking to join here, number one is state's attorney from DuPage County, Bob Berlin, new state's attorney there, and the state's attorney from Kankakee County is also joining on. Other large counties you may recognize, Winnebago County is already on the brief, and that covers the city of Rockford.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of fine state's attorneys who are on already, and and we're looking forward to filing that motion very shortly.
But nobody in no Cook and no Lake County.
Hey, no comment. Come on now. Yeah, but so, we're very happy to have DuPage because there's, you know, there are about a million people in DuPage County, and their state's attorney thinks this is very important. And
wonderful.
You know,
well, this is what's, I mean, other states are passing numerous, you know, a variety of abortion restrictions. I mean, these are common sense, right? Like Arizona, the governor in Arizona just signed an abortion ban on telemed abortions. Now, what is that?
Well, telemed is something we've been fighting in various states, and that was something, it came to a head in Iowa, where their state medical board was investigating. But what happens in a telemed abortion is that an abortion doctor will sit in a location far away He will not do the – he will not examine the woman in any way. Someone else will examine the woman, not a doctor, mm-hmm. will examine this woman. She will sit at essentially like a video call, video conferencing center. He'll be sitting hundreds of miles away. He will do some brief questioning. And then when he's done with the brief questioning, he pushes a button. And then on the other end, that opens a drawer that the woman takes the abortion pills and she takes them on her own.
Oh.
And they hope she comes back for a follow-up. She's never seen a doctor. She's never been physically examined by a doctor.
Wow.
And she's and you got to remember, this is the RU486 abortion drug.
This is not Plan B.
This is not Plan B. This is the RU486 abortion drug. This is the abortion at home.
Mm-hmm.
So you are actually
dangerous.
It is not merely dangerous, but it's also incredibly traumatic.
Yeah, I remember helping a woman with post-abortion healing who ended up like hemorrhaging for hours in her master bath in the bathroom, you know,
yeah,
like and she couldn't go back in that room. You know, I mean, it was just too difficult, too traumatic.
Right.
And it's very painful, very painful. So
I mean, regular doctors are appalled that there would be other doctors doing this business from far away without even a basic physical exam.
Wow. I mean, these are some tough things. Well, we're going to head to another break, and when we get back, we're going to talk more about more of these interesting topics of legal issues in the pro-life arena. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Lent begins as ashes are applied in the shape of a cross to the foreheads of Catholics. We'll talk with Cardinal George about this solemn season. Do you want to see Michelangelo's famous Pietà without traveling to Rome? We'll show you how to experience the next best thing. And Chicago's Father Augustus Toten is a step closer to sainthood.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict XVI.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, with my co-host, Ray Pingoy, and special guest, Peter Breen. Before we get back into the fire hose of pro-life news here, I want to just mention that we have this great opportunity with Cardinal George. There's a Mass for Expectant Mothers. So celebrate Mother's Day with Cardinal George, and he will be at Holy Name Cathedral on Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 8th at 11 a.m. All expectant mothers will receive a special blessing, a silk rose and prayer card with a medal of Saint Gerard, all that attached to the silk rose. It's really a beautiful opportunity. All mothers will be blessed. Anyone who's a mother will be blessed by Cardinal George, and then the expectant mothers will be able to come up and be blessed by Cardinal George and receive that special rose. So definitely come or invite your family members if you have any expectant mothers in your family. That would be a great thing for them. I think it's beautiful. So, but we're going to get back to all this talk about, freedom of speech and protecting our minors and, conscience rights. Oh my gosh, there's just so much going on. There's really so much to do. And thank God there's a Thomas More Society, pro-life law center that is working throughout the country. And, you've been even helping people in Canada, right? I mean, just kind of giving advice. I mean, you can't do anything legal there, but I think that's really an awesome thing. But what's some of the latest that you've been working on in terms of freedom of speech and,
Sure. Well, Margie, and you can always check up on our cases at thomasmoresociety.org, and that's more with 1-0, so thomasmoresociety.org. One of the latest things this past week, we had an emergency matter up in Wausau, Wisconsin. And I love Wisconsin. I love, the brats and the cheese and the beer and everything else. It's wonderful. And but Wausau, the 40 Days for Life campaign up there, was going to host a pro-life movie on this past Sunday afternoon. Mm. The movie is called Blood Money, which folks have talked about. And it's a much more graphic title than the movie itself. It's a documentary about the business of the abortion industry, thus the money part. Mm. Well, the 40 Days for Life campaign, it involves a constant vigil. So in other words, standing out and praying in a particular area out in public. But it also, it involves fasting as well. But that third component that folks don't necessarily know about is the fact that the 40 Days for Life campaign involves public outreach. So this was part of the public outreach for the Wausau 40 Days for Life. They had reserved a room at the Marathon County Public Library. That's where Wausau is. It's right downtown. It's in a big public area. It's a great meeting place for everybody in the Wausau area. They had reserved the movie back at the beginning of March for early April. Well, 3 weeks later, and after they'd already done all of their advertising, they'd gone on the church bulletins, they'd gone on the local radio stations, they had sent out flyers to their members. The library director calls the head of 40 Days for Life and says, "You can't screen your movie here." He hadn't seen the movie. He had no idea why. He just said, "You can't do it here." And so the folks up in Wausau, it turns out one of them actually used to be from the Chicagoland area, used to be actually a mutual friend of Margie's and mine from here, and called me immediately. So this was Wednesday a week ago. And so we got right on the case. We started calling people. We were trying to figure out what was going on there and what were the grounds that they were using to stop this this showing in a public library in something called a public meeting room. Mm-hmm. And so on Friday, Friday a week ago, we sent a letter to all the various authorities up there demanding that they allow the movie to be shown. Then finally, Tuesday afternoon, we got a response from Marathon County. This would be a week ago today. And the response from Marathon County was, "Well, we'll offer you, instead of the visible public library where everybody goes to be together, we will offer you an office at the county office building that's closed on Sunday afternoon, that's shuttled away from all the public." So in other words, put you off in a corner somewhere where you can't be seen and you can't cause any trouble, you crazy pro-lifers.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was Tuesday afternoon, so a week ago today in the evening. Within less than 24 hours, we drafted emergency papers to file in the federal court in Madison, Wisconsin. And I was being told by the lawyers up there, I'm not sure if you're going to get a hearing before this, the Sunday showing. We don't know if you can get relief. And the reporters were saying, "Well, are you sure that they can act on this fast enough?" And I said, I think we can do it. And so we got in on Wednesday morning. The judge set us a hearing for Friday afternoon. And it was finally then, it was only then, that the people in the county and the local officials up there started to listen to us and pay attention to us. And so then on Wednesday afternoon, we were finally talking with these folks. Thursday morning, I went on the local radio station up there, the equivalent of their WLS we had in Wausau. And you know, they have one host on the right, one host on the left. And both of them were just sitting there scratching their heads going, well, why won't they let you show this movie in a meeting room at the public library that anybody can go to and rent for any purpose?
Mm-hmm.
So we had that. And then it was on the front cover of the Wausau Daily Paper was this big story about the library restricting free speech, and they're in a library restricting free speech and free expression was an odd thing.
Yeah, it's like burning books or something.
It is. Yeah, I mean, you know, libraries are all, you know, if anything, they allow a whole heck of a lot of speech, of which, you know, some of which is offensive to Catholic folks. But in this case, you know, it was an interesting spot. The Daily Paper editorialized against the library. And within an hour after the radio appearance on Thursday morning, we had a message left by the council for the county and all of that, saying, "Hey, we'll let you have your movie. Please, you know, please stop." So that was good. I was really looking forward to going up for our emergency hearing in Madison because I love Wisconsin, but we were glad to win. And so they had a great movie showing. They filled the room.
Oh, that's great. Oh, wonderful!
Yeah. They probably had twice as many people as they would have had there been no controversy.
That's what happened. It was good publicity for our people. Yeah. Hey,
right.
Well, hey, we're going to head to another break, and when we get back, we're going to talk more about these interesting issues, these issues that make a difference in all of our lives. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, joined by Ray Pingoy and special guest, Peter Breen, my hubby. Sorry, I had a giggle. Sorry. Our radio producer and board operator, Brian Brock, back there had to jump when I giggled. So And I guess it was kind of loud. But we're back. And, if you do have any comments or questions for Peter on any of these legal issues that we're dealing with, these are important issues and we have to fight. We can't just let them walk all over us. Our number is 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408. So Peter, with that Wausau Library issue, you pretty much, it's done, right? Like they succeeded, they showed their movie. And then with 40 Days for Life, we've done that here a number of times. We normally do it in the fall. And it's usually our office, Respect Life office, and a bunch of other pro-life leaders, pro-life groups that join together to make it happen. It is really a hard thing to put on, this prayer activity, this prayer and fasting campaign, 40 straight days of prayer and fasting outside of an abortion clinic. Well, there are, I think, three different groups in the Chicagoland area that are doing 40 Days for Life this spring. And I got to give them praise because this is a harder time to do it. It's colder. It's harder to get people to go out.
Well, yeah. Well, Margie, since we've been walking precincts for the political election, I know exactly how cold it is, and rainy and windy and nasty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So standing still outside of these facilities is really, that is a great testament.
Sacrifice.
And I read, I think it was from one of the leaders of 40 Days for Life, Sean Carney. He was saying, this is national leader. I think there's close to 300 lives saved already, unborn babies spared from abortion. It might have been last week. It was somewhere around 275. Mm-hmm. But that's just what they know. Think about the people that were turned away that, just they saw the people praying and they said, nope, that's my sign. I am going home. I'm going to have this baby. And they never even went in the parking lot. And, we don't know about how many people.
Well, I think, I can analogize to politics where you get a letter from a constituent, you assume that maybe that represents 10 or 20 or 50 constituents.
Yeah.
So for every child that that their mother decided to continue to carry that child to term, there are going to be tens or hundreds or thousands more who are also carrying to term. And I think we need to make the point that this is not a coercive activity, what the folks, the sidewalk counselors and the prayer vigil participants are doing outside the abortion clinics. If you can be dissuaded or persuaded in a different direction on a very important decision like abortion based on a brief interaction with a complete stranger, then obviously your commitment to have an abortion was not particularly strong. And maybe you might have been coerced into that decision to have an abortion. You might be being forced into that decision. So 40 days is really providing a great service to the community, to these women, to these children. So that, they're able to, even if you're pro-choice, you should be in favor of 40 days. So that's something I think is very important. And so we love 40 days. We have a lot of, we do a lot of legal work for them in various parts of the country, making sure that they are able to have their rights, to be able to stand on the sidewalk, not be harassed, not be arrested for trespassing based on frivolous charges and things like that.
Yeah, and it looks like we have a phone call, a comment from somebody out there, Pammy? Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Life Talk.
Hi.
Hi. You have a comment?
I do. I do. As soon as I heard your husband speaking about the state's attorney, Mr. Berlin of DuPage County, I'm in Addison, so
okay.
I kind of had my ears attentive to that.
You're our neighbor.
and so I immediately tried to call him, and I actually did. I got his secretary or whoever. It was, but I just thought it would be a good idea for people as well, whoever is listening, to call their state's attorney, in my case, Mr. Berlin, and let him know that we are so grateful that he is supporting the fact of making sure that parents know, about, their child's abortion, if the child is going to be doing that. So, I don't know. His phone number is 630-407-8000, And so I just thought it would be a great idea for people to do that.
Yeah, and thank you very much. Thank you for your call. Peter, you were just talking about, you know, the one, you know, constituents writing a letter or a phone call and that representing, you know, 10, 20 voters.
Oh, sure. Or more.
Or 50.
Again, I mean, that number was 407-8000 in the 630 area code. So if you live in DuPage County, then you're a constituent of the state's attorney. Call them and tell them, hey, you know, thanks a lot for doing what you're doing. Because, you know, usually politicians hear a lot of complaints. They've got lobbyists in front of them trying to get them to do one thing or another. What they don't necessarily get is a lot of thanks, though. Hmm. So they need to hear that. They need to be positively reinforced. You know, and another was, I don't know if you want to talk, Margie, about Representative Darlene Sanger out in Naperville.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to update our listeners.
Sure. If folks have been following, there's been a lot of action in Springfield lately on various pro-life bills. One of them that's near and dear to my heart is the Ambulatory Surgical Treatment Center Act amendment. So right now, abortion clinics, there's essentially an abortion clinic loophole in Illinois law where most abortion clinics don't have to follow the same rules that any other outpatient surgical treatment center have to follow. We've got about 25 abortion clinics in Illinois. Only 5 of them follow the same regulations as the other outpatient surgical facilities. So the bill that Representative Sanger introduced was a bill to make sure that all the abortion clinics have to follow the same rules as any other outpatient center. She got hammered by the ACLU for this. And in fact, the ACLU, though, they knew that they were really in a bad spot because the reason they were coming after the representative was because the bill was heard in the Agriculture Committee. But, you know, well, here's the thing. Yeah, moo. And
yeah.
The claim from the ACLU was women are not livestock. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, right, which is why they should have, you know, adequate medical care and proper standards.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to finish up with this discussion. It's been a very exciting discussion.
And rapid fire.
rapid fire, fire hose, whatever you want to call it. But stay tuned for some more Life Talk.
Pope John Paul II is on the fast track to sainthood. One of the major steps is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. A wonderful pilgrimage to Rome, sponsored by the Catholic New World, is being planned at a very reasonable cost. The trip includes the beatification ceremony, a private mass with Cardinal Francis George, and lots of sightseeing, including visits to the Vatican Museum and the Sistine Chapel. Go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome. It's your chance to experience Rome while celebrating the beatification of Pope John Paul II with Catholics from around the world.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities. And it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, joined by Ray Pingoy, my co-host, and Peter Breen, my special guest, who's been a wealth of information. but I wanted you to finish off on that bill that we were talking about on regulations of clinics.
Right. Well, Representative Singer introduced it. It came up in front of the House Ag Committee. You know, ACLU did their Women Are Not Livestock campaign.
Sure.
The House Agriculture Committee, though, on a bipartisan basis, passed it out of committee 13-0.
Wow.
And you know, I was privileged to testify next to the representative on the bill. We helped in the drafting of that bill. The Thomas More Society did, but the aftermath was the ACLU then called for a protest outside of Representative Singer's office in Naperville, just off the Riverwalk.
Mm.
And so they brought a bunch of people and they were chanting and all that. And with very short notice, we sent out emails the night before, the morning of, and we had a protest at noon that we were trying to bring some folks out for. And we brought a significant number of people who were in favor of the representative, in favor of not having substandard medical treatment for women,
mm-hmm.
particularly women in a very vulnerable situation, mm-hmm. a crisis pregnancy. So we brought a lot of folks out, and we did our part. So we showed support for the representative. And the best part about Representative Singer is she is such a bridge builder. She invited the ACLU crew to come into her office and talk in a sensible way.
Instead of protesting?
Well, yeah.
And let's sit down and dialogue.
Right.
You know?
Instead of, but you know what? The ACLU folks refused.
Oh. Mm. You know, but
yeah. I mean, they wanted to chant instead of chat.
Okay. Mm. And so where are we now with this?
Well, they're moving it through the House. It's in the House right now. There are attempts, though. The ACLU is really worried about this bill because they don't want to have to make abortion clinics come up to code, essentially. They mm-hmm. know that certain abortion clinics won't be able to do it. But Representative Singer's bill is so bending over backwards to be reasonable to these people. It allows them 3 years to come into compliance.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of time here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ACLU knows that they don't have an ability to beat this on an up or down vote. So what they're trying to do is use procedural tricks, add amendments that might – poison pill amendments to kill it. We're going to have to see on how this bill goes down the line.
Okay, and there are some other bills, other pro-life bills out there, an ultrasound bill where these abortion clinics will be required to offer clients or patients to see the ultrasound.
Right. So good practice would say that you get an ultrasound, you have an ultrasound prior to an abortion procedure, but what happens is that young women are not being offered the opportunity to look at the ultrasound results.
Okay.
So this is something that would do that. As well, there's a mandatory reporter law, which would make sure that the abortion clinic personnel, like the front desk personnel and what have you, know the law about reporting child abuse, because they get a lot of those sorts of cases, the underage abortion cases, right, in abortion clinics. So those mm-hmm. those three bills are bills that we should support.
Yeah.
The problem is we don't have a good bill number yet, so we're getting the bill numbers so that we can send that out to people and tell them to call
and
the reps.
And so in the next, 24 hours, we'll put this information on our website. It's respectlifechicago.org. Again, respectlifechicago.org. That's all one word, .org. Now, I want to quickly say something about this Planned Parenthood thing. There's a movement to defund Planned Parenthood. We don't have much time to talk about it, but it's very important. They get over $360 billion of federal funding?
Well, it's about $333 billion.
So
over $300 million,
wow.
And that number just continues to increase every year. Our client, Lila Rose and Live Action, the ones who make these incredible videos doing the exposés undercover in the Planned Parenthoods, they are leading that fight. Right now is a time to call your congressperson and also to call your senators, and particularly call Senator Kirk and say to him, you know what, we are in support of defunding Planned Parenthood. So when the vote comes up in front of him to okay, the defunding of Planned Parenthood as part of a budget, tell Senator Kirk, hey, we want you to vote for this.
And then they can also check out, I guess it's exposeplannedparenthood.com. There's more information on that website. You can call us in our office, 312-534-5355. If you need help finding phone numbers, we're there for you. But this is very crucial that we get going on this and we find out, we do this. We can make a difference. I mean, in a time where our economy is down, we have huge budget deficits. You know, that we have to do something, and this is, we should not be giving money to Planned Parenthood. And they're lying about stuff. They say, well, we do medical care, we do mammograms, we provide mammograms, but they don't. Live Action called, like, it was in 27 states, 30 Planned Parenthood clinics, asking if, you know, can I get a mammogram? I would like to get an appointment for a mammogram or a breast exam. And they, oh, no, no, we don't do that here. We're just surgical. We're just surgical. So, I mean, they're lying about their health care. So this is just, this is ridiculous. So, but basically, do something. Get up. Get out of your seat, people.
Well, you don't have to get out of your seat to make a phone call.
Okay, you could sit down and you could just, you know, relax. But make that phone call. Google the numbers. Do the research. Get, you know, energized. Get upset and be active. Make a difference. Well, it was good to have you on the show, Peter. And Ray, thanks for being my co-host.
Sure.
I think we covered a lot of important issues for our listeners. So remember to tune into Life Talk on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. And we are so excited to be here on a monthly basis. So again, tune in. And God bless you, Peter, for your work and for being my husband and putting up with me.
And congratulations.
Congratulations again on the victory. And Ray, thank you for everything. So God bless you all our listeners, and tune in next month.